a public service announcement. Quiz Kids on!
This is 91.7 KOP Austin, studio time, 6:30. Welcome, gender outlaws and gun owners and freaks of all varieties. You've entered the liberated space. The views expressed in liberated space are strictly those of the producer and her guests and are certainly not those of Texas Educational Community Broadcasting. And I've got to say, Veterans will come down here personally and kick my bottom. All right, you can hear us the stream at www.koop.org. And you can go to my site where my webmaster, Miles, has put up some new pictures of me. In little military fetish outfit wear, without Elise this time. Elise is still on there, for those of you who, you know, God forbid, I took the blonde princess off. But, all right, there'll be more pictures to come, because it's a liberated space, and we need all the web traffic we can get. All right, I've got a studio full of freakazoids, and these are, it's like my heavy-hitting team here. All right, from left to right, I've got Scott Horton.
Howdy.
All right, of the weekend interview show, which is on the Republic broadcast, is it not?
Every Saturday from 3 to 5.
Okay. And, of course, I've got the conspiracy master and that guy that everyone's afraid of, co-ops only, one and only, Secret Service Radio only, Gabo de la Guerra.
I'm the most well-armed host on co-op, maybe next to you, though.
You know what? I think you stand second to no one. And, of course...
Hey, this is Miles Lewis.
Of so many different things. Just put a couple plugs for yourself. You do.
Yeah. So the Anomaly Archives Lending Library, anomalyarchives.org, elphus.net, parapolitics.info, anomalynews.com, liberatedspace.com.
That's right.
MacWhite.com.
He's the man who's making the Libertarian Info Network happen, man. This is where it's at. These are the people who are making it happen. Patrick Sovereign is probably in the streets, or, God, since he's a guest on co-op, he might have gotten busted. You never know. These things happen at co-op. But if you're out there, Patrick, we're on the air, and you need to be in here. All right. For our round of questions, this is our year-end wrap-up, and all the mics are on, so, you know, try not to smoke or do anything weird where the mics can hear you.
No bubbling noises.
Yeah, please, dear God. All right. First up, all right, let me go with you, Scott, first, because you're a heavy hitter out there in Internet and Radio Land. Who is the worst member of the Bush cabinet?
Of the what cabinet?
Bush cabinet.
The Bush cabinet?
Yeah.
That would have to be the Vice President, Dick Cheney. Should I qualify that?
You know what? I mean, go ahead. We'll count that. We'll count that answer.
Well, I in fact, made sure that the Vice President counts as a cabinet member. I went and checked the George W. Bush website, and I made sure today that I could include him. But, yeah, he's the guy who hired everybody. And so everyone that is worth hating in the entire Bush administration was hired by Dick Cheney, so he is responsible for all of the terrible things that all of them have done.
And that makes sense. It's my mother, the neocon. That's her favorite member of the Cheney of the Bush. Excuse me, did I say Cheney cabinet? Yeah, that's awful. Oh my God, that just makes a tear to my eye. You know, but you know, didn't he was he hanging out in Mount Weather during the whole 9/11? Where is that? Where he was?
I don't know. Although I did read that he's the one who finally gave the order for F-16s to shoot down any hijacked planes. Although he is completely outside of the chain of command and is merely the president of the Senate and standby in case Junior has a heart attack. So he has absolutely no authority to do such a thing whatsoever, no matter where he was.
Is he the most powerful man in the world?
Afraid so.
All right. Gabo.
I would think it would have to be Condoleezza Rice.
Excellent choice.
I think she's a... Not that people who are black or people who are women necessarily have to... represent black or women voters, but I think if that was the case, then she did a horrific job at it, and she provided a disservice for all the aspiring young black women in government service to basically lie and shill for the president, particularly during the Abu Ghraib scandal and all the damage control she did, and all just the blatant lying she did. She was just this mouthpiece. she served as just window dressing. He took advantage of the fact that she's an African-American woman and rallied after as much political, capital as he can.
But she's a piano-playing figure-skating genius, Cabo.
Well, she has nice legs, too. But, you know, that's beside the point as far as her quality.
She's a freak. She is a freak, okay? This woman is a fascist freakazoid. Let's just call it as we see it.
She's just into the neocon. She's just the black female version of the neocon.
And the mistress of the president.
Probably. Remember he kissed her? Remember that little kiss on the lips?
She accidentally called him her husband.
Yeah, my husband. I mean, the president.
It was a Freudian slip. What's up with that? And then remember when she kissed him, the lip lock with W? Do you remember that?
Oh, I missed that one.
Ooh, yeah.
I remember, there could be a mushroom cloud over Cincinnati if we don't stop him before it's too late.
Yeah, this fear-mongering is just out of hand. She's just been a shill for the administration, and I think she's been used as a woman, and she's been used as an African-American. Not to mention she's not smart. I won't take that away from her, but I think she's just been used by the administration, and it's just a shame what she's doing. To have a role model for black
people. Actually, I think a mushroom cloud over Cincinnati would be the best goddamn thing that happened to Ohio, all right?
Ooh.
Okay.
Since I'm not up on all my cabinet members, I'm going to go with Dick Cheney, because he's got a good point there. I mean, if he hired all these scumbags, and I mean, he's obviously the guy running the show. He seems to be the guy who ran the 9/11 op from the Raven Mountain bunker, and, you know, he's the one who is connected to Enron, Halliburton, and all the other, you know, scandals that are robbing and raping the American people blind.
We'll talk about aspartame. He was the one who nailed that back, and there's a whole other conspiracy theory talking about aspartame and the fact that Cheney ran that through the FDA through his political connection. Just to make
well, since Patrick's not here, and he should be, I'm going to probably say that he would have said John Ashcroft.
That would be an excellent choice as well, I would think.
The choice of all my ex-girlfriends and...
I think he's just relegated to a disposable hero, and he just fell on the sword for the administration to, someone had to be the scapegoat and take the finger of blame.
And he could sing on the wings of eagles.
Oh, man, what a catastrophe. But, you know, his replacement, Alberto Gonzalez, is going to be worse. He's the guy that wrote the memo that says that, of course, all war powers are beyond any restriction of law whatsoever, and the president can torture anybody he wants. So there.
War president. And I love torture Gonzalez. Don't you know that? I love torture Gonzalez.
The funny part about it is he's right. There is no limit on the war power. And when you allow president to... where in law anywhere does it say the president can do this, but he can't do that during a time of war? It doesn't. He can do whatever he wants, and that's why you shouldn't have a government in the first place. Sorry.
Guantanamo.
All right. I mentioned the fact that the Congress is only the power to declare war, and we just totally forgot about that with the Gulf of Tonkin.
Legal schmeagle. You know, they got all the guns and the money, all right? They make the rules.
Don't forget Korea.
All right. Which brings us to my next question. All right. All right. Favorite war scandal. Well, there's actually quite a few here. You know, we don't have to go to the whole, eyes wide suck thing.
Everything but Abu Ghraib. Let's take that out, because that's obviously the number one. Anything but the Abu Ghraib?
I want to say Chalabi. Turns out he worked for Iran. So you have the interests of Osama bin Laden and the Iranian mullahs and the Likudniks in Israel and the war machine in the United States all converging to overthrow the only secular leader in the region, Saddam Hussein, the old enemy of Iran. So there's George Bush, the wonderful God mission hero, doing the work of the Iranian mullahs. I love that.
It isn't the God speaking, that's the Coke speaking.
I don't know, I think a war scandal, just an example of Brown and Root, Halliburton, and those are the corporations that were overcharging the troops for meals, who were basically way overcharging the cost of transportation, the cost of gasoline. They would charge like 10 times as much per gallon to transport various materials because they had contracts to do a lot of the trucking over there. And it came out as a scandal that they were way overcharging the government. But there's no oversight because, you know, they're all part of the military-industrial complex.
Miles?
I'd go with the liberation of the Iraqi people. That's the biggest war scandal. I mean, they've been liberated to the point where, you know, they're being disarmed, so they can't revolt against the people we're going to put in power or the people that were in power before or the people that will be in power after we, after the people we put in power are toppled. Not to mention the fact that they're now, being ID'd and you know, they're being made to wear identification that they'll be shot if they don't have it, you know, and they've been thrown from their homes, and it, that it's basically the training ground for our troops to be used against us.
They're exactly. That's what I'm most afraid of. I agree with you, Miles, that the command and control grid they're laying down there in Fallujah, where they're requiring everyone to carry IDs that has a retina scan and a biometric face scan. It's all part of a command and control grid that they're being laid down there. And we're going to have it here. So what we see there is going to happen.
Just here. Practice.
Yeah, just practice. And when all those cops come back from Iraq, they're going to come back in here and be police officers. And they're going to be the ones that are going to be putting them on the ground.
All right. And on that note, we're going to take a quick station break, and we will be back in just a moment. Back. You've re-entered liberated space, for those of you who might be frightened by it. Remember, I don't know what the hell to tell you about anything. It's all dismal. It's all grim. There is no hope. Give up now. But, meanwhile, we've got Scott Horton, Gabo De La Guerra, and Miles Lewis, all heavy hitters in the libertarian scene, Austin being basically the unspoken capital of the libertarian world. I mean, that's where it's all happening.
That's why we're the next nuke target. Next to Houston.
Thanks, Miles. That didn't help my ulcer any. All right. Where is the anti-war movement?
It's right here at Co-op Chaos. I mean, Co-op. Had a Freudian slip there.
It's hung over.
All over the radio. You can hear it. You can hear it on the left here, generally from the left here. You can, on our radio station, KOP, and you can hear it on the far right-wing Kook station, that Republican Broadcast Network. And you can hear it on all the independent newscasts. We hear it on
Kook. That'd be K-O-O-K.
That's our new handle.
Well, and also there's great websites like AnnaWar.com and Lou Rockwell where anti-war people write great things to each other.
But it's funny. Like,
preaching to the choir, yeah.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, they get tons and tons of hits from who knows where, you know.
Like from Counterpunch.
We never had any protests in the 80s, pretty much. And now you see that it's a lot more common to have anti-war protests in the streets of Austin. We've had several this year alone.
Ms. Keene, I think part of the problem is that this whole global democratic revolution thing is a big left-wing program in the first place. And so liberals don't have a single solitary leg to stand on when they want to criticize George Bush. They just don't like it because it's a Republican war. But it's exactly what Democrats have been all about since the administration of Woodrow Wilson and World War I, which is going around the world and killing people to make them quote-unquote democracies. And in fact, Max Boot over at the Council on Foreign Relations, who's an official neoconservative, calls this foreign policy, the George Bush foreign policy, hard Wilsonianism. They're just like Wilsonians, but they really, really mean it. They'll kill you even more than a Lyndon Johnson or a Woodrow Wilson would kill you.
Well, going back, I see the roots of this even more in Rousseau's On the Social Contract, written in the 18th or 17th century. And basically, it's the idea of forcing people to be free.
Well, actually, let's just stick with the Iraq. We've been at war with Iraq since 1991.
This will not be another Vietnam.
We've been there all these years. In fact, Bill Clinton did nothing but carpet bomb the Iraqis, and where was the left when that was going on? Where's Jeanine Garofalo?
Well, We're talking about Monica when that carpet bombing went off. They hit Camel in the butt with a cruise missile.
But seriously, what point does the left winger really have to make against the war? That war, this war would be just fine as long as France and Russia agreed on the Security Council to vote for it. Then it would be great. Yeah. But now it's not, because it's a unilateral right-wing style of the exact same program. So they really don't have a leg to stand on at all.
Unilateral, trilateral, it's all war.
As long as the soldiers wear blue helmets, the liberal...
It's okay to invade Sudan, because we have absolutely no interest there whatsoever. And you can call it humanitarianism instead.
When you liberate them, yes. When you kill them in the name of democracy. Oh, that's beautiful. We're going to get calls and comments about this, you know that. That's okay, though. That's what I want to hear.
I'm sorry.
No, that's exactly, you know, because you call them out on their crap, and that's what people hate, because there's a lot of that, obviously, even going among libertarians right now. It's that respectability does not mean running around with Donald Rumsfeld. He's a murderer. Donald Rumsfeld is a murderer. He's a mass murderer, right?
So is the whole administration.
And they're just not our kind of people. They're murderers. All right. So... I think we kind of nailed that anti-war.
War. Letter a 12-pack after the show.
That's right, yeah. What is our favorite anti-privacy story? God knows, and Gabo, you call it the security and hate state?
Command and control grid. Okay. It's a high-tech command and control grid that's being laid out. We see it on the chips in our driver's license. We can see it on the television cameras. Or the
black box GPS tracking and taxation system.
Not to mention the chips in my molars, you know. When I go to Alex Jones' dad for dental work, I'm still like paranoid of that.
Nice plug, Gabo. Oh, you think?
I would say the 9/11 Commission Recommendations Bill thing, where see what happens is every time government fails, they get more power. And so after passing a Patriot Act and a Homeland Security Act, then they had their big fake 9/11 panel, and they used that as the pressure from below to demand that somebody do something, which means completely reorganize all the intelligence agencies and the lines of jurisdiction between federal police powers and state powers. And I think, you know, looking back on these three major laws, the Patriot Act, the Department of Homeland Security, and this new 9/11 recommendations bill, 10 years from now, we see where the point changed from republic to total despotism.
Well, we want to make you safe, don't you? You're giving up your freedoms to make you safe. You want to be safe, don't you?
Again, I think it's the tracking and taxation grid that's part of what Gabo was talking about. You know, it's not even a political issue. It's being, you know, ramrodded through, and people don't even realize it. And it's being done under the guise of, you know, oh, it's related to the gas tax, or oh, it's an environmental issue. No, it's about control and tracking and taxation.
Well, those toll roads, they're just going to make driving much easier in Austin. The toll roads are great. What are you talking about?
They can count the Bednarik stickers.
Yeah, the transponder on the bumper tracking you everywhere I go. That's great. It's okay.
All right, number six, most underrated civil liberties issue. This is a good time for me to stick in one. Neil Bortz, who's basically a tool, however, he's good on one issue. That's eminent domain. And this month's Mother Jones actually did an article which was sympathetic to the Institute for Justice, which is trying to take up the slack of where the ACLU is leaving off. Sympathetic to the idea that eminent domain is stealing, and it's nothing but hatred and contempt for the American people. And I think about this because Rick Perry, our illustrious governor, when we're not thinking about his sexual proclivities now, I'm going to think about the superhighway he wants to build parallel to I-35. It'll be a quarter of a mile thick. It's going to have 6 lanes for cars, 4 for trucks, a railroad line, a gas line, water lines, cable lines, which of course will require them to the government to basically confiscate the lands of many, many Texans. God help us.
Well, the state is God. You don't want to do anything against God, do you?
So think about, what is the worst civil liberties violation that you can think of this year, or something that's not, people are not paying attention to?
Well, that's a good one. And, you know, John Rowland, that you mentioned before from Constitution.org, taught me how when independence was declared from Great Britain, that the king's sovereignty devolved to the people, the collective. And therefore, really, America, in spite of the words of the Declaration of Independence about individual liberty, really, the people, meaning the state, own all the property before any private property owner does. That's why it's eminent domain. And so if we vote and decide that your land belongs to us now, that's the way it is, and it's perfectly constitutional. That's the nation state that they created has that power to do such things, and not just the state of Texas, but the national government, too.
wanted to get back to that point about the Constitution in a moment, because we're very wedded to that. Gabo?
Well, first of all, like I said, the state is God, so anytime you question anything that the state does over individual liberties, you're some kind of terrorist. So with that said, I think the most underrated thing we could see is the New Freedom Initiative. And for those who don't know what the New Freedom Initiative is, that's the bill that got ramrodded past the House and the Senate about 2 weeks ago, and it calls for the mandatory mental health screening of every man, woman, and child in America, starting with children. So basically, when your children go to the government-controlled schools their first year, they're going to get a shrink come talk to them and tell them how crazy they are. And if they're crazy, then they're going to be forced on Prozac or Zoloft or any of those neurotropic drugs. And guess who had a slight interest in getting this done was the big pharma cartels. They're the ones who worked with the Bush administration and got this New Freedom Initiative. Even the name, the New Freedom Initiative. New Freedom, that's so Orwellian.
Hey, that's what Woodrow Wilson called it.
New Freedom. I would just say that the death of Posse Comitatus and the militarization of law enforcement, and as evidenced by the news articles we were reading earlier about the rampant deaths and zapping, tasering of toddlers that's going on in this country, it's like, We're basically being dehumanized by virtue of this new police state being engendered by, we're doing this, it's less than lethal, it's not torture, it's not cruel and inhumane, we're doing this to save you.
Yeah, not to mention the PSYOP going on, like shows like 24 and the West Wing, where that's all, now it's supposed to be good, and now it's great, it's to protect us, and the whole PSYOP that the whole media is being perpetrated upon us to think that this stuff is good. When we have shows like National Treasure with Nick Mulkey saying, oh, the Illuminati, they're good.
Yeah, the propagandizing of the surveillance society, the turning everybody against each other, the making of a really suspicious citizenry.
I've never seen 24, but every commercial shows them having to break the law in order to do the right thing.
All right, kids.
The New American Virtue.
All right, we'll be right back. This is a Liberated Space. And we are, oh yeah, I can't play too much of We Will Be Together, because it's a Jefferson Airplane and there's some ugly lines at the end. But it's all about Nixon, and it might as well be about Clinton, because they hadn't quite, the early part of the Nixon administration was more than the Clinton administration, and the latter part, of course, like Bush. All right. And yeah, we're here. There's a lot of things happening in the booth, but I want to get, Scott, the Constitution, this is where I've come to. You know, the Constitution, nice document. Little dated.
I think it's far too advanced for our time. The idea that the Congress ought to have the power to borrow money and have the power to suspend habeas corpus, and the way it's so vaguely written that they can regulate interstate commerce, which means that if FDR shakes his stick, then the court will redefine that to mean Congress can do anything they like without limits. And the point is, it was all Alexander Hamilton's idea, and they rammed it through conventions instead of the state legislatures, and they invited only their friends. And it was a coup d'etat back then, and it's far too much power for a nation state to have today. And I say repeal it and go back to the Articles of Confederation. It's been a disaster. It's been 200 years of warfare.
Well, if you keep on talking like that, since the coup in 1913, when they took us off the gold standard, I think you might get disappeared if you talk about that too much. Because
it's 33.
It's 33. 33 degrees, something like that.
All right, Miles, you have anything to add to this? Anyway, let's go right to Best Conspiracy Story of 2004.
Just the story upon story about how many drills were going on the morning of 9/11 that were obviously part of a cover for the op that it was. From starting in 2001 and through 2002, through 2003, and into 2004, we found out that there's at least five or six training drills that were going on the morning of 9/11 that involved planes being flown into buildings, that Dick Cheney was in charge of several of these. And if that doesn't suggest to somebody that, at the very least, if there is such a thing as Al-Qaeda, that they could have used this information as, oh, well, they're going to be doing these drills, it would be a great opportunity for us to use that as cover, and it'll confuse the hell out of them. To me, that's pretty significant. I mean, when you can point to mainstream news articles and show that all these drills were going on, and that the 9/11 Whitewash Commission didn't even address that,
You stole my answer, because I was going to add that we have Michael Moore's movie coming out, which basically touched on a lot of that, but it didn't talk about anything about the fact that NORAD was ordered to stand down. And to me, that's the most damning evidence and the biggest red flag of something was not amiss. I mean, think about it. Was it just a coincidence that Al-Qaeda just happened to attack us the day that they just happened to be scheduling the fact that the planes were being taken over by terrorists? Is that just a coincidence?
Miles, did you just accuse the United States government of orchestrating the events of 9/11?
I think that's a distinct possibility, but it's not necessarily the conspiracy theory I favor. I think there certainly was an element of an inside job here. There's just no doubt. I mean, just in the last year, there's been all these scandals about, you know, people who are working for Mossad, people who are working for, other countries' intelligence agencies, and, you know, people who are trying to blow the whistle, like Sybil Edmonds, their cases are being thrown out because it would reveal national security secrets. It's like, well, if it's a national security secret that we let these people into the country, that we train them, and that we were running drills that acted as cover for the 9/11 event, then, you know, I guess I am just a little too paranoid.
Well, when they flew all the Saudis out right after when they ordered the planes to stand down, there's just a lot of things with 9/11 that's still coming up as conspiracy theories.
All right, best political cover-up.
Well, I want to do my favorite conspiracy.
Oh, please.
Well, it's the same one. It's Larry Franklin and the Israeli spy scandal.
Yeah.
And the AIPAC, and, you know, it came out in the Washington Post that before George Bush even took office, he was informed, National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice was informed by the FBI that there was an ongoing investigation into Israeli spies in this country. And, in fact, I should recommend, if you go to antiwar.com and you look on the left side of the page, there's a little button called the Israeli Art Student Files, and if you click there, you'll find that there's an incredible amount of links to different major news sources about an Israeli either involvement or knowing prior knowledge of September 11th, and also much more especially concerning the neoconservative Likudniks in the Pentagon, Douglas Feith and Paul Wolfowitz, Abram Shulsky, and how those guys were, according to The Guardian and according to James Bamford in his book A Pretext for War, working with Israel in creating the lies to justify the invasion of Iraq to the American people. And also Karen Katowski saw Israeli generals and high-level people working with Douglas Feith and them in the Pentagon. And that's the story for next year. This is where people go to prison, hopefully.
All right, now for the serious questions. All right, Ashley or Jessica? Come on, The Simpsons? You never see The Simpsons?
I don't
Lisa.
Even know who that is.
Is that Homer?
Lisa Simpson.
We have Homer lights in the studio.
Well, what's wrong with you people?
Wasn't drug rehab recently? Or got
no, these are the more wholesome versions. You're confusing them with either the Olsons. Yeah, the Olsons.
The Power Slut Girls.
The Power Slut. Would you just call them the Power Slut Girls? Jessica Simpson is like my going to be my next girlfriend.
These pop culture references I'm kind of lacking at.
What, you never read the tabloids while you're on the treadmill? All right. Now, oh, my God, is that the cops coming for us? Are you hearing those noises?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. All right. Okay. Since we're on our way out, around the room once, plug your sites.
WeekendInterviewShow.com and ThePoliticalSticker.com.
I don't have one.
But you will. What's your name of your show? Which will be?
Super Service Radio.
All right.
Fortin Spring.
Okay.
Parapolitics.info, anomalynews.com, elfis.net.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Once again, another banner show. All right, because the FCC is drilling right into your brainwaves. KOAP Austin now concludes its broadcast day. KOAP 91.7 is licensed to the Board of Directors of Texas Educational Community Broadcasting Incorporated. KOAP broadcasts at 91.7 megahertz at 3,000 watts. Power to the individual. Indict the tank drivers.